You're listening to the English Express Radio Podcast. Visit us online at theenglishexpress.com, where audio files are available for download. You can write to the show by emailing us at info@theenglishexpress.com. What started as a little experiment turned into a music monster.
What?
All aboard the English Express.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us today on the English Express Radio Podcast with Cliff and Brandon.
Good morning, everybody.
We are recording this on the day we post it, so if you have any emails, and I know nobody's listening, but if you do have emails, you can send them in to info@theenglishexpress.com. For a moment, I forgot our email address.
We are almost coming at you live.
Almost.
Right out of your talkie box.
A little bit beforehand. All right. Now, it was on December 5th in 1484, so a long time ago, the Pope, you know the Pope, he's a great Pope.
I haven't met him personally, but I've heard good things.
I definitely haven't met the Pope from 1484, but he did set down severe penalties against German witches and all magicians. But
oh, scary behavior.
But only for a spell.
Good one.
On the same day...
There's so many people who are like, what the hell?
It's an American saying, I guess. You know, when something's for a short time, it's just for a spell.
Yeah, it's old. It's not something that's really used, at least not that I've heard of, not used very much anymore. But yeah, it's a different use for the word spell.
It's called wordplay, folks. On the same day in 1848, President James K. Polk announced to Congress that gold had been discovered in California.
Ooh.
Now, Congress, the first thing that they thought of was they wanted to appropriate enough whiskey for all the prospectors. But the problem with that is it would have been contributing to the delinquency of minors.
Oh, my God. I just love that the first thing they thought of is, oh, those guys are going to need booze.
How is your refrigerator?
Operating normally. Why do you ask?
Is it clean inside?
No.
No. See, mine neither. And I always wonder if it's time to clean it out and like make it, you know, nice and organized. But I got a problem with that. I always keep putting it off and putting it off. My biggest problem is there's a growling sound coming out of the vegetable bin. And the green ooze on the bottom seems to have a heartbeat. I'm just saying about like these are signs that you need to clean out your refrigerator.
Oh, dear Lord, okay? Cliff.
And the coroner keeps showing up asking if someone died at my house.
Oh, God.
And there are at least 6 brands in my refrigerator they don't even make anymore. And this is the first refrigerator I've ever seen that has vultures circling over it.
Nasty. So if you check out your mold, man, you might have cured some new diseases.
Yeah, so if you have any of those things, it might be time to clean out your refrigerator. What's your car's name?
Just move. Don't even...
Hope toss it out.
Leave it for the next tenant.
What's your car's name?
Prius.
No. Oh. I'm talking about what is your car's name? It's like name.
I don't name my car, man. What kind of 19th century Milhouse are you running here?
Have you ever had a car with a name?
No. I mean, the closest I ever got was B's Off-Road Maxima. Yeah, it's not really a name. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but it does if you ever saw the roads that I took it off of.
Well, Americans adore their automobiles, and proof is that many of us give our cars a special nickname.
The rest of us are normal.
Yeah. My truck has a name.
Oh, as I said, point and case.
His name is Nixon. No, not Nixon. I'm sorry. His name is Checkers.
Good Lord. Does your truck have an identity crisis?
No. You know who Checkers was,
Is your truck the main character in the new movie Split?
No. Do you know who Checkers was? It has to do with Nixon. That's why I said yes.
From Nixon, yeah.
Yes, it was Nixon's dog.
It was Spiro Agnew's bed buddy.
No. It was not Spiro Agnew's bed buddy, Dorcas.
You can't prove that.
So, Nixon had a dog. It was given as a gift, and he refused to give it back. And they wanted him to give it back, and he's like, "Oh, I'm not going to give that dog back. My children love that dog."
It was a gift, I mean.
Exactly. Well, he was being accused of accepting, like, bribes and gifts and stuff like that, and he was talking about how he gave the stuff back or he's given it back, but he's not giving back that dog. And I had a girl that I was seeing at the time. She actually painted a little checkerboard on my dash. So.
Aww.
And it's a 1991 Toyota pickup, so, I mean, it goes way, way back.
Yeah, it was almost around when Nixon had the dog.
Well, it seems that most Americans prefer names for their cars that begin with B. The top car names overall, Betsy, Bessie, yep. Baby, The Beast, Sally, Bertha, Lucy, Big Red, and Buddy.
You always hear Betsy. That one shocks me not at all. That seems to be the go-to for, like, everybody.
Betsy?
Yeah, and I don't know why. Where does that come from?
I don't know. It's number one. But now that's a car names overall. Now, if you look at different regions in the United States, the West loves to name their cars Boo-Boo. I'm not joking. Boo-Boo. Down in the Southwest, that's like Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, that's Big Blue or Big Red. Big Blue, Big Red is a tie. In the Midwest, that's like Kansas. I guess Colorado counts as that. Well, maybe a little bit east of Colorado. But they call it Beast. The Northeast, that's New York, New
Jersey. You're killing me. There's more areas? Can't we just stick with the top list?
They call it Sparky.
That would be great if you were in, like, just outside of Reno. That's what I would name my car.
What, Sparky? Oh, because of Sparks, Nevada?
Yeah.
And last one, the South names their cars Sally. So
I would want my Southern car to run off of KFC oil, and I would call it the Colonel.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd make a biodiesel engine, call it the Colonel. I'd smell like glory everywhere I drove.
Ooh, ain't got no home.
Time for a homeless pile. I know
can I come to your house this
ain't
Thanksgiving?
Got no home. I know place wrong.
Where is your home?
I'm a lonely boy. I ain't got a home.
Alright, looks like Denver has started giving homeless people one-way tickets out of town. It seems that that folks lose. Would you ever give people, I mean, homeless folks, give them one-way tickets out of town? You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Hey, man, at least they're giving them transport. Usually it's just the mark of a billy club on their back.
Well, yeah, at least they're given, and you know they're bus tickets.
Right, of course. It's a group rate. They went on to Groupon. We all know it. It's okay.
And you know what that is? That's like the Godfather. I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. Now, you don't have to accept this bus ticket as they're holding their billy club. But I definitely recommend it.
Right.
I don't know if this is really part of the homeless pile, but it does have to do with about empathy. It looks like folks lose the it's all about me attitude at about the age of 33, according to a new study that reveals 33 is the magic age when we begin to consider other people's feelings.
What?
We're also more likely to make an effort with our parents and grandparents and make moves to end simmering feuds with old family and friends. This is from the Make-A-Wish Foundation. They say it's never too early to put other people before yourself, but while we're all strapped for time and leading busier lives, there are always people less fortunate who would jump at the chance at having a helping hand. So basically, they're saying that people have more empathy. So, hey, maybe donate to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Start thinking about other people.
And the first thing about that, I want to call hocus on that. Like, 33 is when you start caring about other people? No. I remember being in my early 20s, and I started becoming, like, super hyper aware of whenever I was in somebody's way, pulling my grocery cart to the side, letting people that have one item behind me in line cut in front. Like, I guess all of my good deeds come at the grocery store. I don't know.
Maybe, do you know why that age is there?
Because I know that at around between the age of 24 to 27, especially in males, the frontal cortex completes its development. So
that's not the reason, but that's true.
That's true. But a mean age of like 25, 26 ish. And so I thought maybe it's because their brain is fully developed. The other thought is I'm closer to death, so maybe I want to act nicer. I don't know.
Nope. It looks like the most respondents agreed that having children was their main turning point in changing their attitudes toward other people and spending more time doing things for others rather than themselves. And we see people from all walks of life sign up to volunteer, usually around that age, and we're always looking for people to get involved. So basically, you get married, you have kids, and you start thinking about people other than yourself. Guess when most people get married and have kids? Or the kids are starting to get a little older.
Now it's around 35-ish, yeah.
Exactly. So why do you think 33 is the age that people start thinking about others?
Because people like me bring the average down. You know, and that actually makes sense with my life because I became a father at 20 years old, you know. So in my early – it was funny too because when I was from the age of like 18 to 20, I got like 5 speeding tickets. I had almost had my license on its way out. I think they were ready to suspend my license. And then I had a kid and I've gotten, I think, none. I think I've had no speeding tickets since I've had a child 9 years ago.
There you go. See? And it's all about kids getting married, settling down, having families. It gets people starting to get in that settling down mode. And there you go. Now, over in Saudi Arabia, there's a man, 65-year-old Nazir al-Islam Abdul Karim.
Woo! Try to write that on your that little corner of your worksheet.
Well, he's doing his job. He's, he's 65. He's never had a very productive life. He had some bouts of being homeless. Right now, he's working as a street cleaner in Riyadh City in Saudi Arabia. And he just stopped to look at a jewelry stop window display. Have you ever done that where you didn't have enough money, you're kind of poor, and you stop and you like look at nice things that you wish you had?
Last time I can remember anywhere close to this, I was in the mall and passed by a Rolex store. And I just laughed and kept walking. No, I don't stop. Are you kidding me?
Why not?
Because look at how shiny that is. Look at how well-dressed everyone is in there. That is not the place for me. Let me go down to the arcade. I'll see you guys later.
Well, how would you feel if you were the kind of person who stopped and took a look at things and somebody took your picture, posted it on Instagram with a caption that says, "This man deserves to only look at rubbish."
Wow.
And it's like broadcast all over the place.
Blank that guy. Yeah. The guy who wrote that. Screw that, dude. Anyone can. I choose not to do it because I don't want it. That's not what I feel comfortable with. Anybody can stop and look at it, assuming it's not looking at the inside of a safe in somebody's private home that you just broke into. If it's outside of those parameters, it's fine, man. Look at whatever you want.
So people, they have the right and they deserve to be able to look at whatever they want.
Especially in a public place.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Where they're selling these things, like that's what it's for.
Well, a man named Al Qahtani saw the photo and he was outraged, just like you were. So he immediately asked the Twitterverse to help him find the window shopper. 3 hours later, Abdul Karim had been found. They found him. He later said, look, I was just doing my job as a cleaner in the city, and I found myself in front of the gold shop. Then, all of a sudden, I hear my photos in the media. Well, it turns out that terrible post turned out to be a blessing because he's now received all kinds of donations from strangers, including money, rice, honey, an iPhone 7, a Samsung Galaxy.
Oh, come on.
hey, you don't know if he's an Apple man or an Android guy.
Got to get them both, right?
He also has the opportunity to travel to his home country of Bangladesh. So he's not even a Saudi Arabian. He moved out there to find some work and better his life. Al Qahtani, the guy who's helping him out, is 38 and uses Twitter to connect those in need with social media users. He's also posted photos of Abdul Karim with a gold chain and earrings from that very store he was admiring in the Instagram photo. The cleaner says he's very happy about the gifts and extremely thankful. So, you know, there are good people out there who want to help those who are less fortunate than us. I think that's a good deal.
Yeah, but I just have a problem with this quick escalation to profit. Like, first off, I wanted to backtrack a little and say, I didn't hear that that guy was a cleaner. That makes the guy who took the photo an even bigger blank hole, because he's doing a job, man. He's out there working, providing a service for society a lot better than, you know, sitting under a tree and drinking a beer. At least he's doing something with his life. You know, you don't, the guy who took the picture makes me sick.
Yeah, but he's a terrible human being.
A little bit better than that, but still bad, is this quick escalation to profit. Like the amount, all you have to do is post a sob story on Kickstarter or whatever the crap now, and all of a sudden you have $1 million. Like, the people, it's like hitting the lotto. When you get a large sum, a large influx of money, it's like you don't know how to handle it. You didn't earn your way up there. And so you either get it squandered, you give it away, you get taken advantage of, you get it stolen from you, you put yourself in a bad situation. Like, there's so many bad things that happen with that. I just can't, makes me feel bad that people get all this crap thrust on them all at once.
In an unrelated note, I have an incredibly sad sob story. You can find me on Kickstarter.
You're listening to the English Express radio program, flying by the seat of our pants. By the way, do you have an extra pair of pants we can borrow? All aboard the English Express.
Hi, I'm Cliff from the English Express radio podcast. If you need help with an art or video project, we know somebody who's got the proven experience to make any project come to life. Visit facebook.com/ Tara Fox the Artist and take a look at some of her art, film, and video work and graphic design. Years of experience mean she can capture your vision and produce the perfection you're looking for. So market your stuff the right way and visit facebook.com/ Tara Fox the Artist. Hi, this is Cliff.
And this is Brandon.
And this is the English Express Radio Podcast, the greatest podcast ever produced.
Whoa, wait a minute. What?
What do you mean?
I'm pretty sure we're not the greatest podcast ever produced. I mean, have you heard of Serial?
No.
Cracked Podcast?
No.
Surprisingly Awesome?
No. Okay. The English Express Radio Podcast, the greatest podcast ever produced that I have actually listened to. Visit us online at theenglishexpress.com and tell your friends to download a few shows because, well, apparently we need it.
Yeah, if you ever want to measure up with podcasts that are actually good, like The Bugle with John Oliver or WTF with Mark Maron.
You're listening to the English Express radio podcast. If you want to learn English, you got it. If you want money, get a job. All aboard the English Express.
Welcome back to the show. Job like cleaning windows. You might make $1 million.
Hold on, I got another new one to play.
Armed, dangerous, and off our medication. The new English Express radio program. All aboard the English Express.
Okay, well, we're not really new, but...
Lame.
Okay, you know what? I got something better.
You're listening to the English Express podcast, bouncing 1.21 gigawatts of radio goodness off the newly repaired Hubble Space Telescope. Whoops. All aboard the English Express.
Better? All right. Isn't it great to be a neo-Nazi?
Oh, I love it. It's so great. I've just been waiting for my razor to get done sharpening so I can shave my head.
When you're a neo-Nazi, who do you hate?
Jews?
Who else?
More Jews.
Especially Jews, right?
I don't know. Anyone that has a dark skin? I don't even know what a neo-Nazi is. Is that like a Nazi in current time? Or what is
that? Yeah. It's like, you know, the skinheads or the, I don't know. Like Neo, the white power guys.
Neo meaning futuristic, right?
I honestly don't know. But that's
I'm pretty
what
sure that's
them.
What it means.
They call it, nowadays they call them the alt-right or something like that.
Oh.
But, I mean, they're all
right
about like...
Reich.
The alt-right, like the right wing, but they're
so
like...
the alternate right.
Yeah, exactly. But that's just the new name for... because they thought that neo-Nazi had a bad ring to it.
It might be turning off a few people from joining up.
Well, Mike Enoch is the founder of a neo-Nazi blog called The Right Stuff, and he's also a major figure in the alt-right movement, the white power
Mike.
Stuff.
I hate you, Mike. All right, go on.
Well, here's a problem, okay? Well, his name is actually Mike Pinovich. He's a New York City web developer with a very liberal family and a Jewish wife.
That doesn't fit in here.
It's kind of tough to be a Nazi when your wife is Jewish. You can see him on his blog, often discussing the killing of Jewish people on his popular podcast. And initially, he denied the report that he was married to a Jew. But then later, he had to confirm it when presented with the evidence, at which point he resigned. Now, it also turns out that his Jewish wife made several appearances on her husband's neo-Nazi podcast called The Daily Shoah, which had over 100,000 subscribers.
Come on, people.
You're giving this guy 100,000 listens, and we're... That's crazy, dude. And
yeah, you're not even as good as a neo-Nazi. How does that make you feel?
Hey, we're breaking 1,000. This dude's getting 100,000. In one 2015 episode, she even read a neo-Nazi parody of The Night Before Christmas, of which she was very proud. The response from the neo-Nazi movement, it's been less than understanding. I don't know why they have a problem with one of their leaders being married to a Jew.
Jews, depending on where you stand on Jews.
One user suggested that the pair were actors in the same play being orchestrated by the Jews, while other memes showed Pinovich and his wife in gas chambers. Yeah, they haven't quite been very understanding. It does remind me, though, of, remember Clayton Bigsby?
Was that the black white supremacist?
Yes. If you have a chance, folks, go look on YouTube for Clayton Bigsby or search the black white supremacist Dave Chappelle.
White power!
I love Dave Chappelle. I'm so glad he's coming back.
He is. He's going to have 3 Netflix specials this year. Three of them.
Are they going to be stand-up?
Yeah.
I'm disappointed. He was never a really great stand-up comedian. Well, he really shone when it came to the sketch comedy.
There was he's been doing a lot of stand-up recently, and he does like a lot of like 3-hour crowd interactive riff stuff, and I hear his shows are actually spectacular because they're all different, and it's basically him doing about an hour's worth of content and 2 hours worth of impromptu crowd interaction.
I'll have to see it. I've just known that he was never bad. I just was never really excited about his stand-up. I loved his sketch comedy because Dave Chappelle is the king of sketch comedy.
Did you ever see that Netflix special with his co-creator for the Chappelle show? There's a guy named Neil Brennan who co-wrote and directed most of those sketches.
Really?
And he just came out with a Netflix special called 3 Mics. It's amazing, dude. It's so funny. And this is the brain behind many of the sketches that you love from the Chappelle show came from this guy, not even Dave Chappelle.
Okay.
And his setup is he's got 3 mics where he does one where he tells like stand-up jokes, one where he tells one-liners, and then another one where he's serious. And like he switches between the mics and has 3 different personalities that he shows you on stage. It's a really interesting special. Check it out on Netflix called 3 Mics.
3 Mics. I'm going to have to check that out.
It's funny, dude.
How often do you look at your feet?
Between 20 and 23 hours a day. No, really? I mean, I when I'm washing them, when I'm putting my shoes on, I don't know, not much.
Well, on Measure Your Feet Day, they
what the hell? He's just gonna jump that right out at me. No warning. Just there's a Measure Your Feet Day now.
Yes. So I want you to look at your feet. Do you have socks on or shoes or whatever?
I got socks and boots.
Okay, so you're gonna have to tell me that. Tell me this: is your second toe longer than the other ones?
No. Okay. I know that for sure because my wife's is, and we've looked at that before.
Okay, if your second toe is longer than the others, you're a dependable, conservative type.
Nope.
Who always keeps your emotions in check. I'll.
Yep.
No good, huh?
No, doesn't fit.
Okay. Do you have a big third toe?
Define big.
Like long.
I mean, not like abnormally so. It's longer than an army ant. I don't know what you're asking here.
An army ant. Well, if you have a big third toe, you're unpredictable with hot and cold personalities. So you're basically charming one moment and then erupt in a volcanic fit of anger next. So.
I think if you listen back to some of our podcasts, you might find I have a big third toe.
How about a big baby toe?
No.
Yeah, mine's pretty small. They say these people spread sunshine wherever they go. How about just long toes in general? Do you have long toes?
I mean, no. It's not like I can grasp a limb and swing from it or anything.
No, but you know what, though? I've seen people who have, like, really short toes. This is kind of... I don't know if I'd classify them as long, not abnormally long, but I mean, they're pretty long.
I mean, you could get a good inch and a half out of some of them. Giggity.
Well, according to the survey, long toes in general are a sign of great intellectual capacity, and these are the thinkers of the world.
I think these guys are spending way too much time looking at feet.
Well, they say that authors, philosophers, great world leaders often have very long toes. Little toes, generally small toes, these folks don't like to make a scene, but their little toes don't mean you can walk all over them, because these are also fighters.
Ah, so Oscar de la Hoya has tiny toes.
How about wide feet? Do you have wide feet?
Nope.
Well, these are the backbones of our society. Hard workers who have strong family values, dedication to family, community. How about narrow feet?
I mean, I wouldn't say narrow.
But are they, if you had to pick one, narrow or wide?
In between narrow and wide.
Okay. I wonder if there's one here about indecisiveness.
Maybe that's the key feature of narrow feet. I've been lying this whole time.
Well, if you have narrow feet, you're a shy, quiet type who doesn't like to draw attention to yourselves. But beneath the shy exterior is a relaxed, well-balanced person. Oh, yeah, it's definitely not you.
Actually, no, that sounds pretty well descriptive of me.
Okay, folks, this one is Brandon. Webbed toes.
Oh, no. No, no, no. I suck at swimming, so that's out.
Well, if you are out there and you have webbed toes, you're a fun person who won't duck a good time.
I see what you did there. Quack, quack.
These extroverts are the life of the party, and they make great salesmen and entertainers. So if you have a good salesman, maybe ask him if he's secretly got webbed toes.
Yeah, that is one way to close the deal. Look, I really enjoyed our transaction today, but I got one final question before we sign this paper. Tell me about the webbing of your toes.
All right, guys, that's our show.
Who I'm dealing with.
That's our show for today. Thank you for joining us this week on the English Express Radio Podcast. We'll see you guys next week with things like a sleep pile. We've got the fading American dream and sex in the new millennium. Coming up next week on the English Express Radio Podcast.
Robots. Blah, 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 blah.
See you guys next week.
This is the English Express Radio Podcast. Crank it up and set off your airbag. What? All aboard the English Express.